A couple of three weeks ago, I ran into Pam and Jerry over at the funeral home right after Larry had passed away. And they made the comment to me, we hear that some really good things are happening over at the church. I shared this the next morning that I was a little bit embarrassed is probably too strong a word, but I was a little bit embarrassed, confused, probably a little frustrated, because there wasn't any words that I could come up with to say, how do you describe what's going on? And for those of you who were not able to be here last week, we reached a point collectively where, as Ray puts it, we were like the children of Israel at the Red Sea. You have two choices. You can stay where you've been for 40 years, or you can cross over into the Promised Land. But two choices is all the choices God gives you. There isn't a third choice. And ladies and gentlemen, to not make a decision is to have made a decision. Okay, I don't need to repeat that, do I? Okay. And we reached a point last week where God, very plainly and very simply, like is His tendency. Because how many of you know if it's complicated, we'd miss it because it's so simple and we're still missing it. Very plainly and very simply laid out for us the crossing over directions. Those directions required from out of us a response. God, I'm going to go where you lead, or I kind of like it here in this desert. There's giants over there. And I don't think we can do anything about them giants. So I think I'll just stay right here, God. What was spoken to us prophetically last week was that if we would understand this roadmap and follow it, that the things that you have seen going on, you'll be able to participate in them going on. So I wanted to give you an opportunity before I share a couple of things with you, which, by the way, this is in this size so that you can keep it in your Bible. That's why I did that. Before I share just a couple of things with you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to say, Don, last week, this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. And give testimony. How many of you know that if we believe in our heart, A-N-D, and confess with our mouth, that it becomes real within us. In fact, Ray, you're going to start. I forgot to tell you. Ray's going to start. Because as I was so correctly corrected on yesterday, myself as your pastor and the elders as the elders, there are some places where we have arrived, but although we've arrived in some places, we're not staying there. We're still wanting to move on. And I don't want anyone to ever get the idea that myself or the elders or anyone else has ever arrived at a stopping place. Point number six. There is no stopping place. This is a lifetime commitment that we are making. So Ray, if you'll come, I'm going to let you start. See, this is what you get for opening your mouth and talking about what the Lord did. And I'm going to give you a chance to share it. And what I want you to talk about is just last Sunday, what it meant to you and what your response to that was. And then I'm going to open it up to you.
Have you ever been on the outside looking in? The picture that I see is a child, poor in the streets, looking in the window of a bake shop. And you're hungry, or a restaurant, whatever. You're hungry. And you want to be filled. And there's nobody to invite you in. And last Sunday, the thing that I felt with the presence of God was a wooing spirit with its arms wide open that invited all of those who are hurt, all of those who are hungry, lost, all of those who think in their own hearts that they are not worthy, that nobody cares, welcome. Come into my presence, all who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give to you the riches in glory that I have bought for you. The door is thrown open. The owner comes out and says, I've been expecting you. Don't hold back. Come in. All of this is yours. And you turn around to the people that's in the street and they're just busily running by. They don't even notice. Don't be busy. It's an invitation that's awesome. It's absolutely free. Everything's been paid for. Charlie and I this morning coming back from the breakfast, I get emotional. That's a human response. But I'll tell you how far a human response goes. If the emotion is for lust, to consume it upon your own self and your own individualness and personalness, then take those emotions and give them back where they came from. But if the emotion that God wells up inside of you is to share, to be a part of, to give away the goodness that God has given you, then those emotions are God-given. The thing that's run through my whole world this week is
where I want you to go.
God so loved the world that He gave. The love is in the giving. I wanted to say this when we were doing the thing for the children. You know, it would be a wonderful thing to just open up your hearts. God asked the children in the wilderness, He says, I want you to give out of the love of your heart and the devotion that my Spirit puts in you. There's going to be no gain from giving all this gold.
How did last Sunday affect you personally? What changes?
Step back. I stepped back and looked at things from the perspective that, not the perspective, from the heart that God has put inside of me. That I don't give enough. I don't accept enough of the things that are around me, the other people. I'm an analytical person. Charlie T. Yes, I'm analytical.
Charlie doesn't need to tell us.
I know. I do, but confirm, I guess, is what it is. I'm an analytical person. It's always been tick, 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 law. And the Lord has opened my heart this week to confess that the law will only bring you to an acknowledgement. grace will cause you to accept.
Mm-hmm.
It will cause you to accept all that there is. And that is what God put in my heart this week.
Let me have a pen. Thank you. All right, who'd like to go next?
The Lord gave me a vision last week, and I'm going to try to give it exactly like I saw it. I hope I can. But the first one was believe me, and I said I can do that. The second one was trust me, and I said I can do that. And immediately I saw a hole, a big hole, and it was dark. And he said jump. And I knew that it was him, but I hesitated. And he said, that's how fast I'm going. I said, that's how fast it's going to be whenever he comes. That's how fast it's going to be whenever he takes you where he wants you to go. That if you can't see it and believe him and trust him, you might be left behind. Well, you may be left behind because of the hesitation.
Who wants to go next? Both of you, come on. Angel had her a fun Sunday last Sunday.
I did.
This is what we call a sermon illustration.
I don't know where to start. Last week, I started going to a personal trainer just because God said to do it. And during like the last 10 minutes when she was like giving like my massage and we were stretching out, she whispered in my ear, this is a lifetime commitment. And to me, it was just like she was confirming what I'd heard Sunday, all the things that we'd been through Sunday. And so I was just kind of praying throughout the week and just saying, God, what do you want me to do? You know, because I dance. That's a given. But there are a lot of things that God has given me that I've been holding on to and that I've literally put in a closet in my apartment. And I got a call, I guess it was Thursday or Friday, a woman wanting me to do some of my poetry. Which none of you even have any idea that I did, but it's like God is telling me, now is the time to step out, and I want you to give what you have because somebody needs it. And so he's just been doing a lot of stuff this week in me, and I'm really excited. I don't know about what, but I'm excited that he's getting ready to start doing a lot of things and quickly. He's going to do a lot of stuff very quickly.
Yes, he is. Ms. Wilborn.
Okay. This morning, I was really, really anxious to tell Pastor about the first two things that the Lord has worked on me with this past week and the very last one. That is, believe me, trust me, and then the lifetime commitment. But then after I got this little thing this morning and I looked at it, because I had made my notes, but I think I did them. I really do. There was an instance of a friend of mine, and Charlie will like this. Charlie likes a lot of stuff. A long time ago, I would say almost a year, a very dear friend of mine said some really ugly things to me. She was nasty almost. And it broke my heart. And in the process of my heart being broken, I got mad. So then I thought, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll just kind of put it under the rug somewhere, and I won't deal with it. I'll just leave it there under the rug. And so I pulled back, because she was one of the sweetest, dearest people that I had in my life. So I pulled way back with the friendship, but she didn't know I did it. I just kind of snuck and did it. And I pulled way back with the friendship. I didn't call as often. I was hurt and mad. So what happened to me this week is I kept concentrating on believe me, trust me, because I thought, okay, I'll believe God, I'll trust God, I'll do that, because I know it's a lifetime commitment. So I can do that, like Bryce said. I can do that. That's okay. But then the Lord brought a couple of instances in that week that led me right into the old friendship, right? So I thought, okay, this is it. You know, I've bit my tongue, as my grandma used to say. I've said, believe me, trust me, but I've got this thing hanging over my head, and I know it's there. Mm-hmm. It's real obvious, because God kept saying, wham, wham, and just slamming it in my face. So I thought, okay, what do you want me to do? Okay, do what I ask. That's number three. I forgot. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, you need to do the Charlie thing. You need to find that lady, and you need to confess that you've been pulling back on the friendship, and she doesn't know it, and, you know, you guys have been dear to each other, but you've been holding a thing, a real ugly thing, and you need to let it out. So I said, well, maybe this weekend. He said, no, 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 no. If you believe me and you trust me, do what I ask now. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay. So I called and she wasn't there. I said, hot the dog, I'm free. She's not there. Okay, Lord, I did what you asked. She's not there. He said, no, you keep calling until you get her. And I said, oh, shoot. So then I started to be disobedient. I ain't calling no more, because I thought, well, she doesn't call me anyway, you know. So I'm let it go. Then the Lord did some other stuff. He showed me, you know, this friend of mine's, a friend of hers died on her job, just right there at her desk. And then it was just all kinds of stuff. And the Lord kept saying, you need to do this now. You don't know. You know, you don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. You keep saying you're not going to call. You keep doing this. You keep doing that. You keep making excuses. But you believe me and you trust me, though. You said that first, right? I said, okay. If I get a chance, I'll do it. Wednesday went by, Thursday went by, Friday went by. I'm just, you know, believing and trusting, but I ain't really trying, right? Saturday she called me. I said, well, gotta do it, because here it is. I mean, I'm given the other opportunity. I'm given the opportunity. I can stop looking for others to start. Okay. There it is, slam in your face. She is never going to apologize to you for hurting you. You're believing and trusting. You are supposed to be doing what I ask. Open your mouth and do it. I said, okay, Lord. I'm mad and I'm angry. There's number four. Mm-hmm. I'm just really, really, I mean, it's like his foot's across my throat now. I can hardly breathe, because this was truly bad, guys. She was really ugly. I opened my mouth, and God just spoke. I didn't say a thing. I mean, I heard my voice, but I knew it wasn't really mine. And we just cried and cried, and she told me, you know, okay, I realized that you weren't as friendly as you used to be. I didn't know what it was. And so then I remembered, she said, well, what exactly is it? And I thought, God said, actually, you don't have to tell her the instance. You don't have to tell her what it was. That's not necessary. All I want you to do is ask for her forgiveness. That's all I want. So she kept saying, what is it? What is it? What is it? And I said, no, no, no. That's not necessary. God said, I don't have to go through all that. Okay? I love you. I'm sorry. I've carried this for at least a year. I am so sorry, and I want your forgiveness, because I could have been a better friend to you, but I've been holding on to something. And I am so sorry, and I want you to forgive me. And when I finished that, I was laying across the bed. It felt like I levitated. I just kind of floated through the rest of yesterday. I was so thankful. I was so blessed that the Lord had taken me through that and I got it out. It was just like a renewing of, I don't know. I promise you guys,
yes,
there's some good stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you got another week coming up.
And I, what you say? I ain't through yet.
No, you're not through. It's a lifetime commitment. Anybody else? Anyone else? Okay, let's just, for a moment then, just take a look at this real quickly. I'm going to share just a couple of thoughts with you. And we won't be long, I promise. The Lord said that the roadmap across was to believe me. This has to be personal. It's not believe me that He's going to do it for us corporately, not believe that He's going to do it for somebody else, but believe He's going to do it for you. Trust Him. No matter what your eyes see, or no matter what you feel, you still trust Him. Ladies and gentlemen, trust and belief is not a decision that we make once, and then we always trust and we always believe. Trust and belief is a decision we continue to make. That every time the circumstances change, better or worse, we still make a commitment that we're going to believe and that we're going to trust. He said, do what I ask, not what you think I want. Because it's very easy for us to get bogged down in doing good things, right things, and religious things. But God is not near as interested in the things we do as in the who we are. I certainly don't mind my children coming to my house just to spend time with me. I wouldn't want them to come only when they were wanting to do something. Because if I waited on them to come when they wanted to do something, how many of you know they would never show up? Do what I ask, not what you think I want. Get past your fear. That's the main emotion that we feel when God challenges us in our lives. We mask it over with anger. But what we really are is afraid. Stop looking to others to start. Well, when my husband does what he's supposed to do, when my wife does what she's supposed to do, when my job changes, when my children get older, when my children get younger, whenever, whatever, hello, goodbye, whatever. Stop waiting on others to start. And understand that what we're committing ourselves to is a lifetime commitment. There isn't any place in Jesus where we sit down and we go, well, bless God, just waiting on you to come now. Because there's constantly something inside of us that's needing to be pulled out and changed. Balance is found where? Thank you. In the middle. There are two kinds of people in the world. Dogs and ticks. People who carry and people who suck the life out of those who carry. Two kinds of people in the world. Those who carry, dogs, and those who carry, those who just suck the life right out of them. When life's gone, they go to another dog. Two kinds of people in the world. Generally, these two kinds of people, the dogs and the ticks, share an attitude where the dogs are basically big picture thinkers. And ticks are small picture thinkers. Let me give you an example. Oh my God, there's nothing we can do about this guy. He's 9 feet tall. He's cussing God and God's not striking him down. He's challenging us to our champion, and we have no champion who's willing to go out against him. This man is so huge that he's got somebody walking in front of him to help hold up his shield. Oh my God, my vision is just like this, and he's taking up every bit of it. But a dog comes along and says, wait a minute, look at this picture here. You're not being insulted. Oh yes I am. Oh no you're not. Oh, no, you're not. Well, then, who's being insulted, Mr. Know-it-all? Because big picture thinkers, that's what they hear. Okay, well, who's being insulted? God's being insulted here, not you. That's not how I see it. Well, then, step back. Look at this big picture. Because, see, the gospel's not personal. Hello, it's not about, thank you, it's not about you, it's all about, he's the one being challenged, he's the one being insulted, he's the one who's being called out. He is the champion. All he's looking for is, son, do you have a rock in your pocket? But you see, small picture thinkers, they're just always like this. And it's always, what's it always about? It's always about me. Oh, Karen hurt me. Edom didn't speak to me today. See, it's not I didn't speak to Edom. It's Edom didn't speak to me. See, that's always, I've always found that really interesting about people. Sometimes they'll go to church and say, you know, nobody spoke to me. I said, really? You spoke and they didn't speak back? Well, no, I didn't say anything, but nobody said anything to me. Well, go first. Because I promise you that if Frank didn't speak to you, but if you'll speak to him, he will speak back. Hello? But see, small ticks, this is all they see. It's all about me. It's all about me. Big picture thinkers go, hey, why don't I expand outside of myself some? Why don't I step back and take my little petty feelings out of this thing for a moment? And let's really look at what's going on. Now, balance is found right here. Okay? Because let me, for as much as you all are thinking to yourselves, well, I sure hope I'm a big picture thinker. Let me tell you what big picture thinkers' problems are, though. Big picture thinkers generally will step on or ignore other people's feelings or concerns or really legitimate problems that they have because they're so focused on everything being so much bigger than that. And the problem with small picture thinkers is that they can't get their focus off of the small thing to look at something big. So actually, both of them need to move a little bit in this direction right here. To where even if you're a dog, you need to understand, or let me put it like this. You come to a dog and you say, I'm having trouble in my marriage. Well, don't worry about it. It's all going to work out. Well, thank you. I need just a hair more than that, please. Okay? When you come to a dog and you say, well, I found out last week I'm going to lose my job. Well, is God your supplier or not, brother? And that's all the advice they got. Because they're looking at this big picture. And in the big, hey, in the big picture, it is going to all be okay. Okay? In the big picture, it is all going to be okay. But what we have to understand is there are times, though, where we've got to get our hands dirty. Where we've got to say, man, what kind of work would you like to do? Where are you hoping to go? What are you thinking about? Let's pray about this, and I'll keep my ear to the ground, and I'll see if I can help you find something. But then the small picture thinker has to be careful that they don't then take that and go, oh, well, good. They care about me. They understand how I'm feeling. Because, see, then it's all about. And so both of them got to meet in the middle where the person losing their job does understand that the job was never their source to begin with. But there are practical things that need to be done. A definition that I like of the word insanity is this definition. Insanity is to continue to do what we've always done and expect the results to be different. That's insanity. To continue to do what it is we've always done and expect the results to be different. But you see, small picture thinkers, they just don't believe it ever is going to be any different. It's always been this way. My mama was like this. Her mama before her was like this. Her mama before her was like this. My sister's like this. My brother's like this. It's always going to be this way. And that's all they can see. So what they do is when they're challenged to think, I love this expression, to think outside the box. When they're challenged to think outside the box, they stay in the box of, it ain't never going to be any different. It's never going to be any different because we're not doing anything differently. We sit here on Sunday and we listen to me say these things and we go, yeah, that's right. I understand that. And then Monday we're faced with a decision and we go, whoa. You got to believe me. You got to trust me. You got to understand that with you got to understand that with as well as we've been fed, we're not as far as we should be. Now, I almost want to apologize for saying that, but I had to hear it first. Okay, you just had to hear it second. I reread this morning Gideon paring down his army. And Ray's the one that actually brought this to my attention. I believe that's what God's doing. He's paring down his army. But do you know that after he pared them down, I didn't remember this, just thinking about it. But after he pared them down, he said, now those who are going to be part of the army, you need to find out from them which one of them are afraid. Because see, where there's fear, there's a door for the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, the manifest presence of God. The manifest, so that you can see it with your eyes, presence of God is coming. I speak that into your hearing. And I speak it into the unseen world. It is coming. But every time before it ever failed that we find in Scriptures, God said, you got to get the house ready. Let me give you my personal example this week, and I'll close. If you'll look real closely, you can't see from where you're sitting, but if you'll look closely at my left eye, I have a black eye. I was leaving the elders meeting yesterday. I was talking to Michelle. And I said, honey, I got a black eye. She said, which one of them elders am I going to have to whoop? I said, just get them all. I have a black eye. That is stress-induced. The capillaries in my left eye can't handle the pressure of the blood that's running through them. When this first started happening close to 20 years ago, sudden black eyes are an indication of leukemia. And so I had a test run to see if I had leukemia, and I don't. But when I wake up in the morning and I'm standing there shaving and I have a black eye, I know, now hear me now, I know that I am not responding correctly to the world in which I'm living. Because you see, what most people in this room and most people in the world would have said was, they would have said, I've got this black eye because everything's tough on me. But see, it ain't about me, it's about how I respond to what's in my world, not what's in my world. What's in my world is actually a very mute. Did I say it right? Moot. Thank you. I will learn that word yet. Is a moot point. Because I'm on step one and step two. And it's actually because of those six steps that I've got a black eye this morning. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, and I was sharing this with the elders yesterday. Don't think that a revival in your life is going to come cost free. Because it is not. But if you take all of the stresses that are going on in my life with my job and with my children and with my finances and with the church and with all the things going on, and you look at the big picture, give me my black eye. Because my prayer is not, oh God, drop me $1 million, straighten my kids out, and do what you want to do with the church. That's not my prayer. My prayer is, God, I got a lot of things going on. It's obvious in my eyes that I am not handling it well. Change me, God. Because you see, until I change, those things out there are never going to change. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the challenge from God in your life today. Because there's not a single soul sitting under the sound of my voice right now who is not challenged in a lot of areas in your life. Who is not falling on their face before God and crying and saying, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, do something." But our focus is out there. Instead of us saying, "Do something out there," we need to be crying, "Oh God, do something in here." Do something in here. And yesterday, as we started to close, I prayed and I said, "God, when my boat is taking on water, help me not to accuse you." That was that not their reaction? "Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you care?" Now, we just sort of read over that, but if you stop and you think about it, that's an accusation. And we, in our prayer lives, do the identical same thing. "Oh God, don't you know? Don't you care? Aren't you going to help me?" And I hear Him asking the question back, "Don't you believe me? Don't you trust me? Are you going to do what I say?" Ladies and gentlemen, it's called personal responsibility. It is personal responsibility. I stand before God responsible for Don and for no other. And let me take it one step further. Well, that sounds like a good plan to get out of your troubles. Let me tell you something. If you want to change so that what's out there will change, it's still not changing out there. Because God is the searcher of the thought behind the intent of our heart. So our prayer is this: God, change me to honor you. God, change me to honor you. And if in honoring you, I live with a black eye, then change me to honor you. Let's not be so small-pictured that all we care about is how this affects us. Because you see, when you're standing there and you're looking at a guy 9.5 feet tall, he's really not insulting me. And he doggone better watch out. Because he who he is insulting is bigger than 9 feet tall and bulletproof. See, there's a balance found in the middle. I just want to ask you this morning, will you believe and trust enough to say that God, you know, sometimes we get to the point where we say, "God, it's just going to kill me to trust you in the middle of this." But what we don't hear Him say back to us is, "That's exactly where I wanted you to be. Killing you was what this thing was all about to begin with. That's why I introduced it into your life. To kill you." Because, son, as you I let it come. See, Satan walked in and said, well, he only blesses you because you won't let me get to him. God hadn't changed in the last 6,000 years. He says, well, just go ahead and touch Don. Let's see what he does. No, I'm sorry, that's not correct. Go ahead and touch Don, and Don will prove to you what he's going to do. Because how many of you know God already knew? Okay, so we're not proving anything to God. You go ahead and do whatever it is you want to do within these limits, and then within these limits, and then within these limits. Let me just share one other thing quickly, and I promise I'll... Y'all heard that story about the little boy who'd never been to church, and his friend took him to church. And the preacher did like this, and he goes, what does that mean? He said, we got to stand up. And in a little bit, the preacher went like this. And he said, what does that mean? He said, we got to sit down. And in a little bit, the preacher said, I'm just about done. And the boy said, what does that mean? He said, it means nothing. If this is all there is, if this is all there is, if this is all there is, you can't even see the devil in the middle of it. But see, what I find in the life of most believers is that the devil is all they can see. The devil's done this. The devil's done that. The devil's done the other thing. The devil's on me. The devil's after me. The devil... Wait, our focus... Jesus said, if I... Not if the devil be lifted up. He's not even a spot. You know, a better analogy would be if this room were all that there is, the devil's less than a speck of dust you can't see in here. Because before we ever get to him, we've got a battle with the world and a battle with the flesh. And then there's a battle with. But see, in the church, we like to switch that around. But you see, it's because we've not conquered the world in the flesh that the devil has a door he can walk in. Hello? So we've got to take it back to where it starts. Jesus, my world is turned upside down. It keeps me awake at night. I'm frustrated during the day and can't sleep at night. I'm not responding to this like you would respond to this. So change me to be more like you. Because you see, even God didn't change all of Jesus' circumstances. Hello, did you hear that? God didn't change Jesus' circumstances. He still was betrayed. He still was beat. And he still died. And it was all God's will. Hello? Let's pray. Are you willing this morning all the difficulties that you're experiencing in your life and reach a point where you are so exhausted with them that you're ready to stop wrestling? Are we at a place, ladies and gentlemen, where we will lay our frustrations at His feet and say, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. and take our eyes off of the minor problem and put it on the major problem. Take our eyes off of the minor problem and put it on the major problem. Lord, change me. Are you willing, right where you're sitting this morning, to say, God, I confess, I've had my focus in the wrong direction. God, make me more like Your Son, Jesus. That I would approach every person, every situation, and every circumstance exactly the same way He would. Let my life, in the midst of all of its turmoil, let my life be more like Jesus. And oh God, protect my lips from ever speaking an accusation against You. God, protect me. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you sincerely prayed revival, does not come without a price. But when we see what it is we are receiving, it is worth everything we will have to pay. Let's take our eyes off of the price and put it on the prize. Let's take our eyes off of the price and put it on the prize. Father, I commit to making every challenge next week a reminder to believe You and to trust You, to do what You say, to stop waiting on others, because I understand I'm committed to this thing for a lifetime. In Jesus' name, amen.